Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
How often do you clean normal things around your home? I feel like this comes up every once in a while, and every time I look at this spreadsheet that's put in front of me on whether it's an Instagram picture or whatever,
yeah.
I think maybe I'm gross. Maybe I'm disgusting.
So what are you talking about? This is like regular jobs around us that most people aren't even aware is something that we should clean, but then they come out with this chart that says you got to clean it and you freak out.
How often do you clean your carpet?
We only have carpet in one room. I would say it's probably once every 3 months.
Really?
Yeah.
Like you get the deep clean thing?
Yeah, we have a steamer.
It says twice a year you're supposed to do it.
Okay.
I mean, we vacuum it, but I can't remember the last time that we actually cleaned
Truth
it.
Truth is, I can't wait to rip it out. So it doesn't matter to me at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like there's a no shoes rule on my carpet at this point.
How often do you clean your mattress?
You know, we've never cleaned our mattress.
Me neither. I didn't even know you were supposed to clean your mattress. I don't even know how you do it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, coming up next, how do you clean your mattress? It says every 6 months you're supposed to clean your mattress.
That seems odd. I mean, we change the sheets every 2 weeks.
Ah, well, you're supposed to do it once a week. But I'm like you. I change them every 2 weeks, too.
Yeah.
This one, I'm going to sound just absolutely disgusting. How often does Alicia, if you know, wash her bra?
I have no idea. I mean, I feel like there's always bras hanging on the drying rack, but I don't know. She could have a lot of bras. We got plenty of bra money.
All right. It says every 2 to 3 wears. I think you destroy your bras. If you wash your bras every 2 to 3 times, if I wash my bra once every 6 weeks, I mean, I change them. I don't wear them the same one every single day.
Wow.
But I don't wash them.
How many times do you think you would wear that bra that you're not washing for 6 to 8 weeks or whatever it is?
Probably 10
once
times.
Once a week?
Probably 10 times.
Wow, more than once a week.
They get ruined and they're so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe I'm crazy. Maybe you're cringing right now thinking about that. I mean, they don't stink. Not my sports bras like
okay,
that I wear to the gym.
We're moving forward.
All right. This is always a big one. Your bath towel. How often do you wash your bath towel?
At least once a week.
This one is once a week.
Yeah, I use it probably 3 times. I take a shower every other day. I don't shower every day. So I would say probably every 3 times.
Toilet bowl. How often are you cleaning the toilet bowl?
We do that once a week.
You're supposed to clean it twice a week.
Really?
We just read this stat. Well,
there's just two of us. We have 3 toilet bowls in the house.
No, gotta do it twice a week. You guys are disgusting. That's what it says. I just read the study saying that people that clean their toilet bowl regularly have higher satisfaction in their life. Like it completes them. When you finish cleaning the toilet, do you feel as though you've accomplished something great in your life?
No, I enjoy the scent of bleach in my house. It makes everything feel clean and presentable. But no, I don't feel like I've got a more complete life.
Ladies, I don't know how you're going to feel about this one, and I'll leave you with this. Purses and handbags. I don't think I've ever washed one of my purses.
Right.
Every week, you're supposed to clean them out and wash them. I mean, granted, some of mine are pretty nasty. And you empty out, you know, you shake it over the garbage upside down.
You can't put these things in the washing machine.
I mean, what do you mean? And they have a picture of a Louis Vuitton. You think I'm putting my Louis Vuitton in the washing machine?
No way, no how.
Absolutely not. Getting a divorce is hard enough, but imagine getting a divorce and then having to fight AI on top of it.
This is fascinating to me, Anna. When I started hearing about this, I was like, well, wait a minute. Of course this could work, right? Like, I hadn't even considered something like that.
Michelle O'Neill is a lawyer and senior shareholder of OW Lawyers. Michelle, I had never even heard that AI could be used against somebody in a divorce until I read the article that you were contributing to.
It is a growing problem in the justice system. We've been seeing it, you know, in criminal law for a couple of years, but it's really starting to seep over into civil law, and we're starting to see it in the divorce world for sure.
Michelle, I mean, I think that when most people, they hear like deepfakes, we think it's like Tom Cruise, you know, doing something crazy, right? Or it's President Trump licking Elon's feet. We don't think that we'll be fooled by voices in our regular life. But this is kind of a continuance. Like, we've seen this with the grandparents scam, right? Like, they call you we've got your grandson. He was in a car accident. We need $1,500 right now, and they won't charge him. We've seen this with voices, and we know in court cases that text messages, forensics, anything like that, that makes for great evidence. Can people really be fooled like this?
You know, the problem is that we've got all this new technology that is just rapidly coming on the market. So these AI apps and this new software technology means that people can take any old picture of any of us and add some AI to it. And all of a sudden you're doing something that you didn't do. And that just poses a threat to the judicial system from an evidentiary standpoint.
Mm. So, Michelle, have you seen specific incidences where AI has been used in a divorce hearing because somebody had a fake video of the other spouse? And what happened?
Not real enough to cause a super concern yet. You know, we've seen some that were bad fakes. But, you know, the concern that I have, you know, every day that I log into Instagram and see these apps is it's only a matter of time. How long is it going to be until somebody, probably a woman, has some fake video that's made of her abusing her children? And that's going to be offered into evidence. And, you know, if you're people that have, you know, lots of money to fight over, you can afford to hire forensic experts. But if you're people that don't have money, how are you going to defend yourself? I mean, it has the potential of just having disastrous consequences.
It's attorney Michelle O'Neill. Michelle, so how do you protect yourself?
I think the education is the key. You know, knowing what you're looking for and just protecting yourself from being videotaped. Be real careful of what you put on the internet because people can download that and then use some of that. So protect yourself and be smart about it.
Michelle, follow up on that. What does this do to evidence that may actually be good evidence? Is a good video that shows somebody doing a bad thing no longer worth anything? Is it worthless?
What judges are telling me is that they are getting really picky about relying on evidence that could be faked evidence. They are getting very, very tight and very strict to make sure that that evidence is what it says it is before they admit it into evidence. So I think you're absolutely right. The good evidence is going to be under more scrutiny because of the bad evidence.
All right. Lawyer and senior shareholder of OW Lawyers, Michelle O'Neill. Thank you so much for opening our eyes to this. I mean, you think about AI in so many ways, the good things it does. And obviously, you hear a lot about the bad things, but you never thought about how it's going to impact if you're getting a divorce and
right.
What it can do.
They didn't cover this in The Terminator, Michelle.
No.
They didn't do it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right. Well, I appreciate y'all having me.
Have you ever been misdiagnosed before?
Yeah, I feel more like probably spent the last 10, 15, 20 years. When a doctor says something to you, this is what happens to me more often.
Mm-hmm.
A doctor says to me, this is what's going on right now. We're going to switch to this or we're going to try this. Of course, in that moment, I think to myself, oh my gosh, we've just unlocked the puzzle, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the ailment that's actually been bothering me the last 20, 30 years. Turns out usually a couple months later, we discover that no, it's just a new ailment that I have, and my back is still screwed up, my neck is still screwed up, and, you know, I'm dying in one way or another. Just a couple days ago, right now, it's that my liver enzyme levels are elevated, Anna.
So what does that mean?
For 36 hours, I thought for sure I was dying.
Right.
I had cirrhosis or, you know, disease of the liver or some sort of situation, organ failure or whatever, and then my doctor asks me on my MyChart, did you take ibuprofen recently? And I said, yeah, a few weeks ago. Remember, I was having that problem with my neck and my back. I was taking ibuprofen like it was candy.
Yeah.
But that was like 3 weeks ago. I was like, would it still show up? She was like, could. Well, that's not really an answer.
Right.
So I'm still out here wondering whether or not I'm dead.
This week is the 1 year anniversary from when I was diagnosed with celiac disease and CSID and all that.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Here's the thing is that because I had the colonoscopy and the endoscopy last year when they found all these problems that I was having.
They call that the double dragon.
Yes, very much so.
That's what they call the prep anyway.
Yeah. I have to go again this year for another round of the colonoscopy and the endoscopy.
Oh, happy anniversary indeed.
Thank you. And all I keep thinking is, what if they were wrong? What if this whole year I've been gluten, dairy, and sugar-free and even though I feel a million times better and everything is good.
Right. I mean, you've lost weight, everything. You probably feel great.
Oh, I do. I feel a million times better. Remember, I was always sick for years.
Yes.
But what if they go in and they're like, we made a mistake. You just need to take Advil every day. We were wrong.
Well, I would say good luck to your liver. Well, I don't know. You know, I mean, I guess, right? Would you undo that thing that you've already done to yourself? I mean, now it's your lifestyle.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I have my general doctor. This is, you know, I have this with my GI. But my general doctor had mentioned to me a few months ago when I was in like regular checkup. She said, I don't think you have celiac disease. She's like, I've looked at your blood work. She's like, I disagree with your GI. And I said to her, what? Like, what do you mean you disagree with my... She took a chunk of biopsy in my small intestines. Like, what do you... What? Now, in all honesty, I trust my GI more than my primary physician.
I was going to say, because if your primary's got that big of a concern, why don't they reach out to your GI?
So, but now I have it in my head. Like, what if I was misdiagnosed? So I'm kind of looking forward to doing this again to see if it matches from last year.
Are you going to tell her that your primary's been talking junk?
Yeah.
You going to tell your GI?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually kind of fun.
Yep. Every year, 12 million adults in the U.S. are misdiagnosed. That seems high.
And that's by professionals. That's by doctors, right? Like, I mean, if we're just talking about the internet, that's going to be 12 million a day.
I've misdiagnosed myself a million times. I think that I'm dying. Turns out I have a really bad cold, you know? Mm-hmm. Producer Julia, how did you misdiagnose yourself?
Well, I started off having tummy aches when I would have dairy and ice cream and milk. So immediately my head went to the fact that I was dairy free.
Mm-hmm.
And I took that to another level and brought it to being completely vegan. So then I would just not eat anything that came from an animal and I didn't have tummy aches anymore. And then I got tired of it because ice cream is fabulous.
Right.
So then I tried some ice cream without thinking about it. And I was fine. And it was a whole fib for 4 years.
You lied to yourself.
I lied to my... And I missed out on pizza and cake and ice cream.
Yeah.
And
all those
good.
Tasty animals.
Oh, yeah.
All
yeah.
the animals.
Yeah.
And for what?
You know, actually, I mean, a doctor will tell you is like, you know, if you believe something long enough, essentially it will come true. Like you make something true. You're almost manifesting it or whatever way you want to look at it. So if you think you have an intolerance to something and you've told yourself that, physically the stress induced by just thinking about eating it or whatever can cause those symptoms.
Yeah, you make yourself sick.
Yeah. My GI last year said I have celiac disease. So for this past year, I've been gluten, dairy, and I also have CSID, so I'm sugar-free, sucrose-free.
Mm.
And my primary doctor said to me a couple months ago, I don't think you have celiac. And I was like, what? So I have this appointment coming up on Friday with my GI, and I just keep thinking, what if I was misdiagnosed in this whole past year? I've done all this stuff. Meanwhile, I feel 100% healthier and so much better.
Right.
Yeah, but I think people get misdiagnosed all the time.
Jake, last time you misdiagnosed yourself, what happened?
I was dying from the pandemic, and I don't know if it was exactly me doing it, but my wife thought that she had killed us. Because she had some like stomach distress that, you know, was tied into symptoms or whatever. It turns out she had taken some magnesium sulfate to like calm herself down.
Yeah.
Took too much of it, gave herself an upset stomach. So pushed herself into like thinking that she had killed us all.
Yeah. I mean, what a strange time it was, right? Like, and the fact is that whatever it is that she was ingesting, she's like, I had to go to the grocery store to get it. So she figures she walked into Chernobyl. Anything could have happened, right? She brought it all home and killed you all.
Exactly. She woke me up crying because she thought that she had killed us.
It's terrible. Sylvia, last time you misdiagnosed yourself, what happened?
So I just watched a sci-fi movie where these like aliens plant like worms inside someone's brain. I got a headache like 3 days later. And of course, I thought, oh, my God, I have something in my brain. I have like worms. Somebody planted something in my brain that was going to grow and yep. It's going to explode. So the wildest thing. Yeah.
I saw Wrath of Khan, Star Trek 2, which is a movie that pretty much nobody saw. But I saw that decades ago with my father, and they put this worm thing in the dude's brain. And I've had the same thought every time I've had a headache ever since.
Terrifying.
Yeah, so many you sleep ways. Outside or whatever. You're like, yep. Something crawled in there.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm glad so far you've been okay, but who knows what's going on
yes.
there.
No worms reported in my brain.
That you can see.
It's one of those things that you don't think about until all of a sudden you start burning all your food and you're like, wait a minute, these pans are 22 years old, you know?
It's true. You know, the bottom of that pan starts flaking off or whatever, too. That's not healthy.
Right. So what kind of pans should you be buying for your kitchen? Chef Plum, you can check out his podcast, Plum Love Foods, wherever you get your podcast. Follow him on Instagram at chef_Plum. Plum, I was talking about this with my husband, and he's like, why don't you just ask Plum what he thinks? Because we registered for our pots and pans for our wedding, and they're still the same pots and pans that we use today, and they're pretty much lighting everything on fire and burning things at this point.
Same.
You know what? I'm the same. I think the pans that I had at my house for a long time were the ones I registered for my wedding, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a funny thing, because you see them all over the place. You have aluminum, you have stainless steel, you have nonstick. It's amazing the different types that are out there. For me, get yourself a nice set of stainless steel pans, and here's why. They disperse the heat properly, they last forever, they're easy to clean, and anything you want to be nonstick, if you heat it properly and have enough fat in the pan, it's not going to stick.
Oh, so the Kaflon, is that...
That's
what I use.
That's nonstick.
I thought that's what I was supposed to get, so I didn't burn everything.
Well, so I don't like right and wrong. I don't like to say it's the right one or not the right one to use. I worked at a hotel years ago there at an omelet station. We all had nonstick pans because they didn't want to like make the omelet stick. And I learned I won't do it because I watch that stuff slowly start to come off the more and more you use it. Stainless steel pans is the way to go. Now, also, don't go to your local supercenter type store and buy like the $3 really thin aluminum pans either. Those things are just garbage. They're not good. Don't do it. Spring for a nice set of stainless steel pans. That's the way to go.
Stainless steel pans, will they warp if I throw them in the sink and they're too hot?
No, definitely not. Stainless steel pans not going to warp. It's not going to bend. It's just going to be sturdy and last forever. Think about it. For our wedding, we get given that nice pan set. Most of the time, they're all stainless steel pans. And are they still in our cabinet? Yes, they are.
And let's talk about knives for a second, too. I don't know the difference of the knives that come in the block. I just get a sharp one and I use it for whatever. But which ones, what brands do you suggest?
So I use Ergo Chef knives. They're made from great steel. So that's kind of the key thing here when you have a knife. You want it to be made from a really good quality steel. And a great knife doesn't have to be $150, $200 a knife. I like a knife that has a good weight to it. It's made from steel. It's not going to bend and break. And the key thing you want to make sure you have is you want the steel to run all the way through the handle of the knife. It's not just a little piece that's welded onto it. Very, very important. And I'll tell you what, if you want to make a knife last forever, keep it out of the dishwasher. And here's why. If you put dishwasher detergent on your fingers and you feel it, it's grainy. So basically, if you put your knives in the dishwasher, it's like sandblasting them. So you're going to make them dull immediately. Remember, a sharp knife is way safer than a dull knife because a dull knife uses more force. More force means less control. Less control means you're going to cut yourself.
All I keep thinking about is all my knives that are in my dishwasher right now.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, no, that's a real big one.
Are you serious?
It's a big one. And one thing I'll ask, though, Plum, is how often should you have to sharpen those knives? Because my wife, I think it's just a thing where she loves to sharpen knives.
Well, does she sharpen it or does she hone it?
Oh, no.
Very different.
I mean, I don't know what the difference is. I mean, she pulls out that thing that's in the block and then she takes the knife and she, rips it across that thing.
Yeah, so that little long like rod that she's putting the knife across doesn't actually sharpen the knife. That's called a honing rod.
Okay.
When you cut with a knife, you make small little microscopic indents in it, right? And that honing rod gets rid of those.
All right, so how often should she be honing? Because she's not going to listen to me, but she might listen to you.
I hone a knife every time before I use it.
Oh, okay, so you're both crazy.
Find Chef Plum online at chefplum.com and listen to his podcast, Plum Love Foods, wherever you get your podcasts. Let's connect again. So we have this initiative, if you haven't heard about it, where we just want you to reach out to people that you haven't talked to in a long time, a family member, a friend, and we decided we were going to bribe you along the way.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll offer up coffee for you and your friend. Should you happen to want to do that get together in person, we'll pay for it. If not, we'll both mail you a card, and that way you can go and have coffee on your own.
You can get all the info at annaandraven.com. And it's super sad because there was a new stat that came out. We talked about it last week that 4.1% of Americans went to weekend parties in 2023. That means like 95% of Americans just made an excuse and stayed home.
Yeah. God, where did we get to this place mentally where that's what that many people want to do? I mean, we've all wanted to do that on one day or another. But imagine doing that for the majority of the year.
All right, but here's the good news. Now we're going to be like Maury Povich and Jerry Springer.
This part okay. I like.
All right, so producer Julie, so we have been saying if you want help finding somebody that you haven't talked to in years, that we would help you out.
Yes.
And we got an email.
Yes, we did.
from somebody that said that they hadn't spoken to a gentleman in many, many years. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. Julie and I looked at each other, and the one thing we know how to do is stalk people on the internet.
Oh, it's like a game to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I sent a list of the information that I needed, included high school, you know, local kind of community clubs that that person may have been in, last name, first name, married name, all of that information. And they sent back the Facebook page the person.
Wait a minute. So they had already done the mystery. Wait a minute.
Wait, I guess, here's what I think happened in this situation. I don't think that dude wants to talk to her.
Right.
So they wanted us to like reach out to him so we could facilitate.
We'll dip our toe in the water.
Right.
See what happens. If the toe comes out and we're okay,
yeah,
then we can let her know that it's safe. But if you've already, you know, you've located somebody's Facebook and you need somebody else to reach out.
Right. All you have to do is click send a message.
Right.
That's, or you're blocked.
But Julie, is he active on Facebook? Because I know like if you text my husband and you send him like a DM on Facebook, he'll never see that. I mean, even if you send it to me, it'll get buried for
even
the most part.
Sent it as a third party.
He has
for this person that he hasn't talked to in 20 years.
Right. He has 51 friends. So I don't know. I could
is that,
say
is that a high number.
I could become one of those and see and then do some real sleuthing. And
yeah, don't do that. So here's what. Here's what we're going to do now. We're going to add to producer Julie's daily tasks.
Yeah, and we'll add to this whole let's reconnect thing is like we will also track people down.
It's like finding an old boyfriend and finding out where he's doing. Is he married and is the girl prettier than me?
Oh, all right. That's easy.
Yeah, I do that all the time.
You guys are doing that online. If there's a stakeout, I want to be the one that like sleeps in my car and like, you know, watches somebody's house.
So really, we have a whole team ready to go.
We are ready to go because if you want us to internet stalk somebody for you to find their information so you could connect with them, you can head to annonraven.com. We're ready to work.
Done.
There's been a lot of talk about breaking traditions this year with Easter coming up because eggs are so expensive. People are trying to figure out other things to dye instead of the eggs.
I mean, come on. You can get a dozen eggs. All right. You can do that for Easter Sunday. I'm sure it's probably going to be okay. I think we're just being a little bit dramatic here.
I watched an entire reel about how they took this peanut butter mixture with maple syrup and flour and almond flour, and then they covered it with like chocolate shell. And okay. I'm like, this looks delicious, but you probably spent more money getting all these ingredients than just going and buying the dozen eggs for $6.
100%.
You know? Yeah.
100%. It's the thing for everybody to be crying about. On Easter, though, you know, the truth is that I don't do a whole lot of searching for the colored eggs anyways.
Mm.
Dipping in and dyeing the eggs when I was younger, that was fun. But always more difficult than you think it's going to be, too.
Yeah, so we're going on an Easter egg hunt this year, but we are breaking tradition with our family.
Okay.
And we've only ever done it once before that I'm not going to be spending Easter with my parents.
Oh!
And they're being troopers. They really are. They're keeping their head up, and they're saying, okay, and
it's all right, and we'll still love you. We'll welcome you back into our family the following week.
Yeah.
We're not so sure Jesus will, but okay.
I was so nervous to tell them that we weren't going to be with them for Easter this year.
So what are you doing?
So we are going to Myrtle Beach for the week because the girls will be off from school, so I'll be off that week. But we're going to go to Washington, D.C. first because we're going to be visiting a couple colleges there for my daughter.
Okay.
And my little one, I had to find an Easter egg hunt for her because she's six. Like,
well, they have one at the White House.
Well, you can't go. You just can't go.
Oh, that's
too
bad.
I thought I just showed up.
Right. Right.
Here
I'm Anna Zapp.
Yeah, right.
From the Ann and Raven show. You know me.
They'd be like, no, ma'am. And we're going to escort you off property right away. No, so we actually, Martha Washington's house has an egg roll and an egg hunt, and we signed up for that. We had to pay like $10 or something like that.
I mean, that feels kind of like the same thing.
Right, but I'm not going to be spending it with my family.
Yeah.
And it stinks. The only other time that I was not with my family on Easter was on the year I got married. We were on our honeymoon because it coincided for whatever reason.
And I bet you the parents were not happy with that either.
Oh.
They were like, what, you can't go the next week? What? Oh, no.
Yeah, no, they understood that time more than they do this time, but they're being good.
Yeah, we're searching for something to do. So it's, you know, the first Easter with my grandson of being of, you know, like a walking age, right, where he can go out and actually gather things and pick things up. So an Easter egg hunt is on our list, and we have a couple options. But what we're really dealing with is we're figuring out whether or not he's going to be terrified or enthralled by the rabbit. You know, because there's going to be a rabbit there. The Easter bunny is going to stop by.
Yeah.
And the Easter bunny, if you haven't met him before, he's kind of a large dude.
He's big. He's huge for a bunny.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And that can be a little bit intimidating when you first meet him.
Do you want to come to Martha Washington's house with me? What's the family tradition that you have? when it comes to the holidays. A lot of family traditions are actually going to be broken this year because people are saying they don't want to spend the money to dye Easter eggs because eggs are so expensive.
Wah, wah. Come on, people.
So trying to figure out alternatives to it. But I think every family has their traditions during the holidays, right?
Things that you do at any party, really, when your family gets together.
Yeah. What's your family tradition? And maybe it's not something completely normal. Jasmine.
So I think this started with Jewish weddings, like super religious Jewish weddings, where the men and the women are separate and they even dance separately. And at some point in the evening, they get the bride and the groom get lifted up onto a chair and carried around. That's a special song. And now that's sort of morphed and they do it at like kids' bar and bat mitzvahs. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, it's like so great to see the person in the chair, like holding white knuckle onto the bottom of the chair and looking terrified that they just get the whole family up in chairs. Mm-hmm. And it's this, you know, now can is anybody strong enough to get dad up there? And then let's get mom up there. And like, the person in the chair is horrified and screaming, but I don't know. We just all love it. So now we do it all the time.
I feel like I've seen this happen so many times at different weddings and different events. And the person up there never looks comfortable.
Wow. And it's terrifying.
And you get a bunch of rowdy guys.
That have been drinking.
And that bride can go flying 25 feet. It's dangerous, I think.
Yeah, I've never thought of the horror as a feat of strength, though, where we're like, all right. Can we get dad up there? Oh, dad got up there. What about Big Steve? Let's get Big Steve up in the air. Steve's like, I just came here as a guest.
Who weighs over 300 pounds?
Right.
Get him over here.
I wanted finger foods, man. Come on. Because sooner or later, the muscles are getting tired, too. Like, I mean, the likelihood just goes up. Somebody's going to go down.
Malik, what's your zany family party tradition?
So every time we have at least five of us, so pretty much every party, we have a tradition where we have to watch horror movies. Like, it's on the TV. It's always a horror movie. That is a tradition. It has been like this since I was born. Even if it's like a nondescript horror movie that no one's ever heard of before, we are watching that.
Even if it's Christmas? Like, even if it's just like a nice holiday?
Especially on Christmas. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, so my wife doesn't watch them, but whenever I have time, I steal time. And more, my go-to now is like a horror flick or a ghost flick because she never watches them. It's become like this thing where I have it going in the afternoons all the time.
Marissa, what is your zany family party tradition?
So when it comes time for Easter, we actually don't just have a kid's Easter hunt. We have an adult Easter egg hunt. And of course, there's like more cash. There's like little bottles of alcohol in the eggs. That's our zany tradition.
That's great. I love that.
It's super fun.
We used to do that at my grandma's house, too. They would put them, like, in the mantles and stuff like that. Weird, you know, place that I wasn't able to reach at that point. Then you'd come across one that had been hidden for 2-3 years. Open it up. It's all dusty. Find one, and you find a $5 bill in there because I finally reached that right height. And grandma would be like, where'd you get that? I'd be like, oh, I found it over here. Oh, that's right. I did put one over there in, like, 73.
3/4 of Americans, it seems so old school, and I can't believe I'm even saying this, feel the need to compete with their neighbors, according to a new poll.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I think that a lot of people know that. Keep it up with the Joneses, right?
Right?
Like, that's
course.
Where the whole phrase comes from.
Yes, but like that's like a million years old. Like, I can't believe that that's still a thing that you have to outdo your home compared to what your neighbors are. And the fact that 3 in 4 Americans feel pressured to do that. I was surprised by that.
Well, going next level is one thing. I do think that there's a lot of, you know, inherent pressure, and it's not necessarily a bad thing to keep up your end of the neighborhood, right? Like, so if everybody in the neighborhood's got a beautiful house, then I shouldn't look outside and, you know, look right across the street at my neighbor and see that he doesn't mow the lawn. He doesn't, park his car anywhere but on the grass. Like, there's weird things. There's trash strewn about. Those are problems.
So, right, problems. But how about when you want to be better than them?
Yeah.
The 1 in 9, that's 11%, say they've taken inspiration from those and copied their style choices. Imagine you have a specific look, then all of a sudden your neighbor has the same siding and windows and color scheme as you.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I did have a neighbor in my old neighborhood. They bought the same car as us twice.
It's weird.
Twice. And I'm not saying it was the same car. We bought a car. They bought the same car maybe 9 months later. We bought another car a couple of years after that. They bought the same car maybe 6 to 9 months after that.
One in four people say that they strive to be the best looking house on their street. I could strive all I want. I'm never going to make it. So I might as well just accept my house for what it is. But over 50% said it's really important for them to have one of the nicest exteriors around. Like, you don't want to be the worst house on the street either, because then you're considered the eyesore. So I do understand that. I would say we're not the ugliest house on the street. Yeah.
But is that a claim to fame? I'm not really sure. If I build a deck, is my neighbor going to build one that's larger? If I've got a sound system outside at the pool, will they make sure that theirs is louder? I think that everybody's lived in one of those situations before. Right now, I've got a neighbor that they moved out, but they're like, you know, Airbnb-ing or Vrboing, whatever it is when they do it month to month on their house, right? And there's a big house in a neighborhood. It's, you know, 2,500 square feet or 3,000 square feet. And ever since they rented this place out, the electricity is included, all the lights are on. And I mean inside, outside, all hours, all the time, all the lights are on. I don't live behind them, so it's not the end of the world for me. But it is odd when I leave as early as I do and all those lights are on. It's cringy. It's weird. I don't want to be like them.
Top three areas people say they feel the most pressure to keep up with their neighbors.
Yeah.
This is my husband. Well, manicured lawn.
Of course.
Healthy green grass. Oh, my gosh. How much do I have to hear about the grass every single year?
No, I mean, I feel like that's the same thing as number one, but okay.
And lush flower beds. It's all curb appeal. You want to look good to your neighbors and the people that are driving down the street.
Inside, your life could be chaos, but outside, we look great.
So keeping up with the Joneses. What does your neighbor do that's super weird and you don't want anything to do with it, or super cool and you're jealous? You admit it. Keeping up with the Joneses. What does your neighbor do that's super weird and you don't want anything to do with it, or super cool and you're jealous? You admit it.
You know, I was thinking about this, Anna, because I'm not very competitive with my neighbors. Like, everybody's got a pretty decent lawn. There's always a couple sufferers. Mark, I'm talking about you. But the race that's been happening in my neighborhood over the last couple of years is the amount of solar panels you have.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
wow.
A lot of solar
going on there.
So the bigger your panels, the cooler your house?
It might be. To be fair, I asked everybody about their solar before I got my solar. And now that I went solar, nobody talks to me about it. It's
really?
So strange.
Huh?
One of my neighbors stopped my wife in the street and was asking her, how do you get the ice off the panels? And she was like, I have no idea. How come he didn't ask me? Never asked me.
Well, nobody believes you know what's going on. They figure Alicia's in charge, which is somewhat accurate.
I guess that's fair enough. But they're looking at my panels.
Keeping up with the Joneses. They want your panels.
I guess so.
What is interesting about your neighbors? Something that you envy or something that you think is wacky? We went to the office squad.
What's something really weird that your neighbor does that you don't want anything to do with?
He has every possible conceivable outdoor anything. Leaf blowers, tractors, ATVs. Can't stand the noise 24/7 all these years. Won't even go over there. I can't.
Like, can you see it from your window?
About 25 feet. Every morning forever.
Imagine it just becomes a war, a competition between the two of them. Who can have the biggest tractor?
I mean, I feel like that's a real thing.
They have like a pickleball kind of tennis court. It's right next to their house. They like built a small little almost mini tennis court thing. And every year I feel like they revamp it into something new. So like right now it's being turned into like a campsite, but it was a pickleball court at one point. It was like a full on bonfire area. They just changed this little area.
The burning. That's not something I'm a fan of.
Oh, I have a bonfire family on my street too. I always see the smoke and I get nervous, and then I'm like, oh no, they're just outside again.
Brenda, how about you? How come you're not a fan of your neighbor?
Oh, my weirdo neighbor yodels every morning at 7 a.m. on his patio. It's extremely loud. It's extremely annoying. I work from home and I have a small child.
Is he wearing clothes? Because this strikes me as an I'm naked thing.
I don't care to look outside and find out. I just want him to hush.
That'd be my dream come true if I heard my neighbor yodeling every morning. Oh, I would love it. It'd be my favorite thing in the whole world. I'd be like, open the sliders, open the windows. I got to hear the guy yodel again.
We have at the end of my street, or maybe it's the street over, I can't really tell. Somebody has chickens and they also have a rooster. And that guy goes to work all morning long. He's just out there making noise every morning.
The person is making noises like chicken and roosters?
The rooster.
No, this is different. This is a grown man yodeling.
I know.
Very different situation.
I mean, but I don't know. If you talk to the rooster, he talks back to you is all I'm saying.
One couple.
It makes me furious. I don't get it.
This is what she wants to do.
One problem.
My daughter wants to do a spa weekend for her 16th birthday.
And I'm being deprived of going there because I'm a guy?
You decide the outcome.
All right, Gabby, you got to be happy to hear that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can have a family dinner when we get back in town.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. This program is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off your first month of online therapy at BETTERHELP.com/Anna and Raven. Chris and Blythe. Blythe, what's going on?
I'm really pissed at Chris because he's like preventing me from getting a new car, which is ridiculous. It's like he's parental. He's decided that I'm not a good enough driver to drive a brand new car. So he's like blocked me on it.
Chris, what's going on?
I mean, I don't know if you guys are parents, but if you did have a child who had gotten three car accidents in the last 10 years, totaled three cars, would you let them drive? I'm not saying that my wife can't drive. I'm just saying that she probably shouldn't be driving a new car since she has been the cause of three cars being completely ruined. And I think that now she should drive something a little bit more, you know, of the speed and value that she can be trusted in. She's just not a good driver. God.
I am not a teenager. We both make the same amount of money. If not, I make a little bit more. You just bought a brand new Jeep. So you're saying you put me in some kind of beater because I had some accidents in a city where, you know, every day is like, you know, you have to watch your back. There's somebody driving like a crazy person. So
yeah, it's you, sweetheart. You're the person driving like a crazy person.
Let me just jump in here and ask a question. Blythe, do you have any problem paying the higher insurance? Because obviously, you know, with your car accidents, that's what's happening here. So do you have any problem paying the higher insurance or whatever costs that are associated with this?
Absolutely. No, I do not have a problem with
it.
And I'm not going to buy a red sports car. You know, I'm just going to get like a nice SUV like he has.
Yeah. Listen, if she's paying the difference, Chris, what's the difference? If she's paying.
What do you mean
she's
paying the difference? We're paying the difference together.
Yeah. I mean, she already said you guys make basically the same amount of money. If she wants to spoil herself with a nice car.
Yeah, but she crashed three of them.
Listen, I'm not saying I would love the choice. I'm just saying I don't know how you stop.
It's not like Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how many cars have you wrecked in 10 years, Anna?
Zero.
Right. Well, there was that one, but the deer's fault.
Too.
No, yeah, you're right.
It was the deer's fault.
But that wasn't my fault. It was the deer's fault.
Yeah, I'm sure she doesn't regard these as her fault either.
In the case of my wife, she would have driven off into the woods and hit the deer.
Well, I mean, I haven't totaled the car.
Oh, my God. That's not even funny or true.
But, yeah. I mean, it does happen.
These were all circumstances that it really was like. Could have been me or them. So it's not like I'm going out and picking targets and going and trying to hit them.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you don't need to debate your motor vehicle violations with me. I mean, I'm just saying is that if you're willing to pay, why can't you play?
I understand that if you get into three massive car accidents in 10 years, now everything is going up more, and maybe it seems like not the best idea to buy a brand new car again.
Mm.
But let's see what the audience has to say. Does Chris have a say over that situation?
I mean, I would just suggest a very safe vehicle would be a good idea, too.
There you go. Good airbags.
If you got into three car accidents, totaled all three cars in the last 10 years,
yeah.
Do you think your husband would have any say over what kind of car you got next? Because that's exactly what Chris wants to do to Blythe. Chris says, the third car you've totaled in 10 years. Babe, it's time we get you something a little bit older, not brand new. But Blythe is like, what are you talking about? I can get any car I want. I'm a grown-up.
Yeah, I mean, the feeling of losing all control to somebody else in a situation like this. I mean, a car is a big part of you, right? Like, you drive it every single day, everywhere that you show up, every parking lot that you pull into where somebody's waiting for you. They see you get out of that car. It's a personal thing. So to feel like somebody else is in control of that is not pleasant.
Right. But Chris is like, how many cars are we going to total? Like, we got to end this somewhere.
Right.
What do you think?
End the chaos.
End the chaos.
The line has to come to an end.
We're going
to
get you a used car at this
so
point.
It's so epic.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999.
I'm on his side because, I mean, three total cars, just even if the cars would have been reversed, I would have said the same for him if he would have been the one.
Three times is too much.
Gotta be a little more. Yeah, that's it. There's no going around that. That's total. There's no coming back from that.
The couple's court verdict is powered by Sherwin-Williams. Shop the Sherwin-Williams spring sale and get 30% off paints and stains now through April 7th. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Should your spouse have any say over what kind of car you drive? What if you totaled your last three new cars in the last decade? Yep. Chris and Blythe are having that conversation right now. Blythe just totaled her third car, and she says it's not fair that her husband is giving her a very hard time now and says that she has to get a used, older, kind of a beater car, she called it.
You know, I'm really obviously on her side as far as she has the choice as an adult. She makes the money. She can spend her money where she wants to, right? When I see somebody with a beautiful car, I think to myself, it's not the investment that I would ever make. It's not where I would put my cash, but they have the right to do whatever they want to. On the other hand, if I was married to Blythe, if you crashed three cars in the last 10 years and you totaled all three of them, I would have some serious concerns.
Yeah, what do you think?
Right?
I think it's no win all the way around. You know, I'm looking at the text line. I can't even read what some of these texts say about her driving. Allison, whose side are you on?
I am on her side. He is not her parent, and if they both make the same amount of money, she is entitled to go pick the car she would like to drive.
I mean, if she wants to spend the money, I don't understand why it is that, you know, it should bother him, right? You voice your displeasure with the situation, but, you know, if she's willing to spend the bucks, then how are you going to say no?
Mackenzie, what do you think?
I think he lost the argument the second that he tried to make the analogy of his wife being his child. Mm-hmm. She's your partner in life. She's been in the city for 10 years. It is crazy there. I used to work in the city. The normal rules of the road don't apply. She's a grown adult. She's her own woman. If you guys can afford to pay the extra and she's on board with it, then I think she gets her new car. It's her car, and it's not for him to be making rules for her because she is not his child.
Hey, Ann Raven, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
I'm definitely on the husband's side. Maybe she could get a used Suburban, you know, big car.
What? Sounds good, or a tank.
I think we just get her something strong, not necessarily larger, but I get what you're saying. Thanks for the call.
Do we have any Hummers available?
You know, I think it's interesting, the analogy. Listen, there's difference between fender benders and things being totaled. Mm-hmm. I will say that, too, right? Like, you're scraping along things in the city. It's different than you're smashing something through.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Chris, our audience agreed with you. Blythe, after you crashed that third car, it's like three strikes are out. So now maybe buying something used and maybe less expensive, probably the better route.
Booyah!
That's grown up.
Yeah. I mean, thanks, you guys.
You know what? Blythe, I mean,
you're not driving around in some beater, yeah. Looking like a, you know, second class citizen.
No, you're right. But you know what? Practically speaking, spend that money on something else. Buy a boat.
You know, I wanted to crush boats now too. I feel like that's even more expensive.
I mean, the percentages are just not with you right now, Blythe. Chris, you got to be relieved.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that if she can make it a couple of years with no incidents, then we can, you know, get her something new.
Oh my God. Okay, thanks, Chris.
Yeah, I know it's weird. Like, it's like he's not your dad, yeah. But
yeah. Get me something decent, at least. You know, I don't want some junk car.
You can still pick your
something.
Car.
Yeah, I mean, I was just saying, new.
Blythe, I mean, yeah. I mean, is he going without you? Like, you get to pick your car. Just, you know, just pick an uglier one. That's all.
An older one. Yeah. Not an uglier one, an older one.
An older, safe one.
Yes.
Is what I'm going to say.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $400. All right, Amy and Trent, are you guys ready to play today?
Yeah.
Sure are.
All right, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, will you please leave the room?
You got it. Good luck, you two. $400. Come on.
All right, hold on. Let me wait for him to leave. That door is going to close. He won't be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring him back in. Ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Yeah.
Number 1, the Betty White stamp is here. How much is a first-class male forever stamp right now?
73 cents.
Number 2, on a podcast, Kelly Clarkson says she didn't realize American Idol was a TV show until the third audition. That's because she won which season of Idol?
1.
Number three, Lauren Sanchez's brother says her wedding to Jeff Bezos will be like Princess Diana's. Princess Diana's wedding gown train was famously how long?
Really long. 100 feet.
How many feet?
100 feet.
Number four, Seth Rogen has a fear that he'll die with too much money. Right. The 40-year-old virgin was one of his first movie breakouts, but he was also on what one-season wonder show that starred Busy Phillips, James Franco, and many more?
Freaks and Geeks.
And number five, after 40 years, the Sundance Film Festival is leaving the city where it's been held and moving to Boulder, Colorado. Where was it traditionally held in the past? That's time, guys.
All right, okay.
Let me bring Raven back in. Not bad. Where did he go?
Let's go. Come on.
Yo.
All right. 3 out of 5 for Amy and Trent.
That's pretty good. Not great. Not terrible.
Here we go. Let's do this. Number one, the Betty White stamp is here. How much is a first-class Mail Forever stamp right now?
It's up to 73 cents now.
Isn't that a lot of money?
I mean, it feels like a lot.
Right. That means every time you have to go mail a letter, it's almost a dollar.
Yeah. I mean, that's really not a lot of money. But, you know, still, it feels like a lot of money.
Number two, on a podcast, Kelly Clarkson says she didn't realize American Idol was a TV show until her third audition.
That makes sense. I mean, they were really just kind of getting it off the ground.
Right. It's because she won which season of Idol?
Season one.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, she had no idea.
Who's the best Idol winner ever?
I think it's either Kelly Clarkson or Carrie Underwood.
I would agree.
Yep. Number three, Lauren Sanchez's brother says her wedding to Jeff Bezos will be like Princess Diana's. Princess Diana's wedding gown train was famously how long?
25 feet.
25 feet. How did you know that? No, I thought only stuff. I knew that.
I remember stuff.
Number four, Seth Rogen has a fear that he'll die with too much money.
I wish I had that fear.
The 40-year-old virgin was one of his first movie breakout roles, but he was also on what one-season wonder that also starred Busy Phillips, James Franco, and many more?
I don't know that one.
Freaks and Geeks.
Sorry.
Yep. At number five, after 40 years, the Sundance Film Festival is leaving the city where it's being held and moving to Boulder, Colorado. Where is it traditionally held in the past?
Oh, gosh. I know this, but I'm going to get it wrong. Is it Jackson Hole?
Park City.
Yeah.
All right. You guys tied at 3 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
It's Amy and Trent, and we can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, you two. $500 tomorrow, Anna.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.